Dave Emery here. This is Side 2 of For the Record program number 775. Ratzinger leads the ship, the resignation of Pope Benedict the 16th. This is being recorded on 2/14/14, February 14th of 2014. Happy Valentine's Day. We're going to plunge right back in with our analysis and speculation of the things that were going on either prior to, during, and immediately after the resignation of Pope Benedict the 16th. Benedict became the first pope in history to resign, a very unusual move, and we're going to take a look at the things that were going on in connection with that resignation. Now, in Side 1, we spoke about the fact that there were renewed scandals about the Vatican Bank, the IOR, and in particular money laundering scandals, and when the Vatican Bank was enmeshed in enormous financial scandal back in the early 80s, following the collapse of the Banco Ambrosiano, Italy's largest bank, one that had been guaranteed, whose loans were guaranteed by the IOR. Hermann Abs, chairman emeritus of the Deutsche Bank, Germany's largest bank, and a person who had been the most important German banker under Hitler, and arguably Germany's most prominent and important banker in the post-war period. Hermann Abs was appointed as the advisor to the Vatican to straighten out the Vatican's finances. In the wake of renewed scandal involving the Vatican Bank, and just before leaving office, Benedict the 16th, again, nay, Josef Ratzinger, an individual who served in the Hitler Youth, an individual who then served in the Wehrmacht. He was one of the Flakhelfer. That is the name given to Hitler Youth who served in anti-aircraft units in the Wehrmacht toward the end of World War II, as we looked at if in the book The Nazis Go Underground, available on the SpitfireList.com website for download for free. Many of them had actually, those Flakhelfer, those Hitler Youth, had been chosen to become leaders in Germany for the Underground Reich in the post-war period. And many of the most prominent figures in Germany were indeed Flakhelfer. Now, before leaving office, Benedict the 16th appointed a German lawyer to head up the Vatican Bank. That fellow was Ernst von Freiburg. He was is a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. That is basically the military wing of the church. We looked at that in For the Record number 610 with a great article from the old Parapolitics newsletter. That article was authored by Kevin Coogan, the author of the book Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yaki and the Post-War Fascist International, that has figured very prominently in For the Record broadcasts over the years. About the appointment of Ernst von Freiburg, this article is from USA Today, February 15th of 2013. It is an AP story. It's headlined, Pope Approves German Lawyer to Head Embattled Bank, and it reads in part, Pope Benedict the 16th has signed off on one of the last major appointments of his papacy, approving a German lawyer to head the Vatican's embattled bank. Ernst von Freiburg, F-R-E-Y-B-E-R-G, has solid financial and Catholic credentials as a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, an ancient, chivalrous order drawn from European nobility. The appointment ends a nine-month search after the Institute of Religious Works ousted its previous president, Ettore Gotti Tedeschi, T-E-D-E-S-C-H-I, for incompetence. The ouster came just as the Vatican was submitting its finances to a review by a Council of Europe committee in a bid to join the list of financially transparent countries. Now, by the way, the body doing that review was the aforementioned Moneyval, mentioned in side one, and that is what Mr. Ballestrero had been the Vatican's representative to, and then he was reassigned to Colombia. Beginning again, the appointment ends a nine-month search after the Institute of Religious Works ousted its previous president, Ettore Gotti Tedeschi, T-E-D-E-S-C-H-I, for incompetence. The ouster came just as the Vatican was submitting its finances to a review by a Council of Europe committee in a bid to join the list of financially transparent countries. The Vatican said von Freiburg had been appointed by the bank's commission of cardinals and that the Pope had, quote, expressed his full consent. Ernst von Freiburg. This is from the Huffington Post of that same day, February 15th of 2013, almost exactly a year ago. This article is by Alessandro Speciale, S-P-E-C-I-A-L-E. Its headline, Ernst von Freiburg, controversial new Vatican Bank president appointed by Pope Benedict. And excerpting this article, but von Freiburg's appointment immediately sparked controversy. The lawyer will remain in his current role as chairman of the executive board of German shipyard Blohm and Voss, that's B-L-O-H-M, Voss, V-O-S-S, which was involved in the production of warships under Nazi Germany. Vatican spokesman Reverend Federico Zambardi said that the shipyard is currently involved in engineering and ship repair activities, as well as in the production of luxury yachts. But he also acknowledged that Blohm & Voss is, quote, part of a consortium that is building four frigates for the German Navy, unquote. Again, sort of a interesting thing for the an official who's now part of an institution named for the Prince of Peace, as Jesus is known. More about the history of Blohm & Voss. This is from the Germany Watch blog spot of February 21st of 2013. Germany Watch, which hasn't been publishing many new posts recently, feeds along the lower right-hand side of the SpitfireList.com website. And this particular post from Germany Watch of February 21st of 2013 is called Popes Don't Resign, unquote. Excerpting from July of 1944 to April of 1945, Blohm & Voss used inmates of its own concentration subcamp at its shipyard in Hamburg, Steinwerder, for slave labor. The camp was a subcamp to the Neuengamme concentration camp. By the way, for spellings, check the description for the record number 775. All of the text will be excerpted. I don't want to take time and interrupt the flow of the discussion to spell out these names. Beginning again, from July of 1944 to April of 1945, Blohm and Voss used inmates of its own concentration subcamp at its shipyard in Hamburg, Steinwerder, for slave labor. The camp was a subcamp of the Neuengamme concentration camp. The Blohm brothers were Nazis, and much of their wartime labor had come from Neuengamme, a site shared with none other than IG Farben, the Nazi chemical giant. As the Allies advanced at the end of the war, Germany tried to hide these war crimes by marching the inmates of the camp further into Germany. It was decided eventually that the best way to bury the evidence was to load several large ships with the camp inmates and then sink the ships. Thousands of Neuengamme camp inmates were loaded onto the SS Thielbeck, and the Blohm & Voss built SS Arkona, a ship large enough to have realistically portrayed the Titanic in a German propaganda movie. The Germans then sent a disinformation message, knowing that the British were listening, pretending that the ships were full of Nazi SS men heading for Norway. On May 3rd of 1945, four squadrons of RAF Hawker Typhoon fighter bombers attacked the Thielbeck and the Arkona in Neustadt Bay with both rockets and bombs. Thielbeck sank in 15 minutes, however, the Arkona burned for hours. Many camp inmates managed to escape the two ships, only to drown or be shot by SS guards upon reaching the shore. Neustadt Memorial to the victims says 7,000 lives, but it is believed to be a major underestimate. That is to say, 7,000 lives were lost. So slave workers who worked for Blumenvoss in a Blumenvoss-run camp were put to death on a Blumenvoss-built ship. Again, a poor historical foundation to the head of the Vatican Bank. More about Blumenvoss, B-L-O-H-M. This is from the Bloomberg.com blog website, Bloomberg News, of December 11th of 2011. An article by Naomi Kresge. Its headline, ThyssenKrupp's Blohm sale to Star has profit clause, Die Welt says. It reads in part, ThyssenKrupp AG agreed this week to sell its Blohm and Voss GmbH shipbuilding unit to Star Capital Partners Limited for 30 million euros or $40 million in cash, plus a share in earnings expected to reach about 40 million euros, Die Welt reported, without saying where it got the information. So up until 2011, the end of 2011, Blumenvoss was a wholly owned subsidiary of ThyssenKrupp. That, again, is the company, the largest heavy industrial firm in all of Europe. It stemmed from the marriage of the famous Krupp armaments manufacturers of Prussia and then Germany to the Thyssen-Aktengesellschaft, that is was formerly Vereinigte Stahlwerke, that is the Thyssen steel firm, inextricably linked with the industrial and financial history of, on one hand, the Bormann Flight Capital Network, about which we've spoken so often. The book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, is available for download for free on the SpitfireList.com website. And ThyssenKrupp, the Thyssen firm, actually inextricably linked as well with the Bush family, who were involved with helping to finance the Third Reich. Again, we've talked about that in many broadcasts over the years. One of the things that emerged in connection with the Pope's resignation was a credible report that one of the things that was going on, and this again tracks back to the Vatican Bank, was that there was a so-called velvet mafia, a gay hierarchy within the Vatican that wielded a lot of power, and because of the fact that they were gay, and because of the fact, of course, that the Catholic Church condemns homosexuality, they were subject to blackmail. And this, again, apparently tracked back to the shenanigans that were engulfing the Vatican Bank. Among the papers that covered this, The Guardian from the British, from the United Kingdom of February 21st of 2013, an article by John Hooper. It's titled, Papal Resignation Linked to Inquiry into Vatican Gay Officials, unquote, says paper. It reads in part, a potentially explosive report has linked the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI to the discovery of a network of gay prelates in the Vatican, some of whom the report said were being blackmailed by outsiders. The Pope's spokesman declined to confirm or deny the report, which was carried by the Italian daily newspaper La Repubblica. The paper said the Pope had taken the decision on the 17th of December that he was going to resign the day he received a dossier compiled by three cardinals delegated to look into the so-called VatiLeaks affair. Last May, Pope Benedict's butler, Paolo Gabrielli, was arrested and charged with having stolen and leaked papal correspondence that depicted the Vatican as a seething hotbed of intrigue and infighting. According to La Repubblica, The dossier, comprising, quote, two volumes of almost 300 pages bound in red, had been consigned to a safe in the papal apartments and would be delivered to the Pope's successor upon his election. The newspaper said the cardinals described a number of factions, including one whose members were, quote, united by sexual orientation, unquote. In an apparent quotation from the report, La Repubblica said some Vatican officials had been subject to, quote, external influence, unquote, from laymen with whom they had links of a worldly nature, unquote. The paper said this was a clear reference to blackmail. More about the same subject from the Atlantic Wire of February 22nd of 2013, an article by Alexander Abad Santos, headlined, Did the secret Vatican report on gay sex and blackmail bring down the Pope? Again, reading in part, Pope Benedict XVI has claimed that he's resigning the papacy next week because of old age. But according to the major Italian newspaper La Repubblica, the real reason he resigned is because he did not want to deal with the repercussions of a secret 300-page Vatican dossier that allegedly found, among other things, an underground network of high-ranking gay clergy complete with sex parties and shady dealings with the scandal-ridden Vatican Bank. And again, more of that excerpt will appear, it is actually in the description for the record program number 775. Interestingly, even after leaving his position as Pope, he now holds the title of Pope Emeritus, Ratzinger will continue to live in Vatican City, which is nominally, legally, a separate country. This will keep him immune from prosecution. This is from Reuters.com of February 15th of 2013. Pope will have security and immunity by remaining in the Vatican. This is by Philip Pulleda, P-U-L-L-E-L-L-A. It reads in part as follows. Pope Benedict's decision to live in the Vatican after he resigns will provide him with security and privacy. It will also offer legal protection from any attempt to prosecute him in connection with sexual abuse cases around the world, church sources and legal experts say. One more time. Pope Benedict's decision to live in the Vatican after he resigns will provide him with security and privacy. It will also offer legal protection from any attempt to prosecute him in connection with sexual abuse cases around the world, church sources and legal experts say. And what we're going to come to next is, again, what I call a conspiracy theory within a conspiracy theory. The Pope left office in mid-February of 2013. Roughly 2 months before that, a very disturbed fellow, allegedly autistic, according to some sources, named Adam Lanza, L-A-N-Z-A, became something of a household word when he massacred a bunch of children at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. There's been all sorts of disinformation about that as well as discussion. What has not received a lot of publicity is the fact that Adam Lanza existed in an environment that was inhabited by serial pedophile priests who had apparently been shielded by the church hierarchy. The following is an AP story by Alan G. Breed and Michael Beisiker. It is from the Yahoo News of December 28th of 2013. Despite files, Connecticut shooter remains enigma. Skipping down, it reads about Adam Lanza. Another topic of discussions was pedophilia. Among the documents investigators found on Lanza's computer was one titled P-Bear that investigators described as advocating pedophiles' rights and the liberation of children, unquote. Another, called Lovebound, unquote, was a screenplay describing a relationship between a 10-year-old boy and a 30-year-old man. Lanza said his stance on issues of mental illness, including pedophilia, would cause others to make snap judgments about him as an apologist, unquote, Lanza's theater friend told authorities. So again, Adam Lanza had an apparent preoccupation with pedophilia. And what we are going to ask here is whether that might have had something to do with the presence in Adam Lanza's environment as he was growing up of serial pedophile priests who had been apparently shielded by the Vatican Church hierarchy. Again, this is something of a conspiracy theory within the conspiracy. We are asking basically if, in fact, the apparent concern or preoccupation of Adam Lanza with pedophilia and its possible relationship to his psychopathology, if that was caused in part by his abuse at the hands of some of these serial pedophile priests who were protected by the church, might that perhaps have spurred Benedict's resignation? Because if in fact that link was ever made, there would be one hell of an uproar. A blog, and by the way, the entire text here is in the description for the record 775. This is the blog Neil Allen 76 of December 19th of 2012. Why Adam Lanza Massacred Children at Sandy Hook and Newtown, a theory and motive. And we have the whole thing in the description. It reads, as much as we'll have time for, to save time, I will give a one-minute summary followed by details with verifiable online pointers to facts. Note that this is just a theory about a motive and will be shocking to everyone. Summary of theory. Adam Lanza was raped by a known, convicted Catholic pedophile priest named Father John J. Castaldo when Adam was 6 years old when his family moved to Newtown, Connecticut in 1998. He never stopped thinking about the traumatic moment of being raped by Christ on earth, which is what priests call themselves. He spent every moment of his life trying to rationalize it, and he never developed normally. Then he went to that specific classroom because there were mostly six-year-old Catholic children in that room. No one protected Adam, and Adam would show the Catholics that their children couldn't be protected either. Details and online proof of theory. The Lanzas moved to Newtown in 1998, and there are links to all of these allegations. A known convicted serial pedophile priest named Brother John J. Castaldo resided there from 1998 until 2001. Brother Castaldo's arrest for pedophilia by law enforcement was in a sting operation, then the link for that. He got 1 week in jail. Castaldo was accused of attacking a boy under, quote, extreme threat and intimidation, unquote. And he had been expelled from his seminary for, quote, remarkable bizarre behavior, unquote. And again, there are links to the articles documenting all of these points of information. Article in the Hartford Courant gives more details. He was an especially frightening pedophile, one of many lawsuits that was filed against Castaldo. Castaldo had been accused of the sexual abuse of at least four boys between the ages of 10 and 14. Castaldo had two disturbing psychological assessments that noted he, quote, was fearful of his own aggressive drives and had, quote, difficulty accepting his own sexual urges and desires as normal, unquote. He was preoccupied with his, quote, unresolved sexual urges, unquote. Brother Castaldo admitted under oath that he, quote, suffered from a sexual sickness, unquote. The Lanzas were Catholic and went to Brother Castaldo's church. Adam is a quiet six-year-old who moves to Newtown, Connecticut in 1998. Brother Castaldo was a serial child rapist, and pedophile priests have as much sex as they can get away with. Most victims never come forward like Adam because they knew they wouldn't be believed. Castaldo probably had many victims, most of which never came forward. Adam may or may not have had autism, making him an easy prey. Adam would never tell anyone and could be manipulated easily. Castaldo has sex with Adam and the Catholic Church hides and reassigns Castaldo, as they have done thousands of times in the United States. By the way, he was reassigned to Stamford, Connecticut. That is where Peter Lanza, Adam's father, moved to. One wonders if perhaps in visiting his father, Adam Lanza had in any way come in contact with Brother Castaldo. Continuing, it is tough for anyone to grasp the psychological trauma that a child experiences when they are raped by a Catholic priest. And then it goes on to summarize some of the trauma for the child who is a victim. And again, the entire text here is in the description for the record program number 775. I would also note here that another pedophile, serial pedophile priest, was in the church, the school which Adam Lanza attended, and it appears that there was a pattern of overt protection of not only Brother Castaldo, but also this other priest as well. Now, whether or not the hypothesis presented here by Neil Allen is correct, it certainly is a compelling point of inquiry. The other pedophile priest, by the way, was Brother Charles Stubbs. He also was at the St. Rose of Lima Church when Adam Lanza was there. He may have left after 1997. Lanza arrived in 1998. So again, if in fact the working hypothesis here is correct, if the apparent preoccupation of Adam Lanza with pedophilia and rationalizing pedophilia and his psychopathology was due in part to having been molested by serial pedophile priests who were protected by the church, and whether that might have had something to do with Benedict XVI's resignation is food for thought and grounds for further research. Recall that when he was Joseph Ratzinger, Der Panzerkardinal, he, that is to say, Benedict XVI, was in charge with seeing to it that these sorts of things were straightened out. And note that Benedict XVI is still living in Vatican City, which will shield him from prosecution. All of my life's work is on the SpitfireList.com website and in a flash drive that you can order containing all of that work plus an enormous amount of supplemental information. There will be a long article-length description with all of the information in this broadcast, including the entirety of Neil Allen's blog. That begins at SpitfireList.com. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 775. Ratzinger leaves the ship. The resignation of Benedict XVI. This program has been recorded on February 14th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.